The following is a product of the Uprising High School Ministry at The Grove.
So, we're going to continue this series, Comparables. And today I've titled this parable because apparently I just don't like the titles that are these other random people give that wrote this thing. Not like Jesus' words, because he didn't give stuff titles. He's just like, here's a story, deal with it. But we like to put titles on things. So this title is the parable of the unshakable. All right. When you think about being unshakable, or that you're an unshakable person, what do you kind of picture? Like, you think about if you're going to tell someone, or if someone's going to describe you as unshakable, what does that mean about you, or what does that mean about that person? I'm okay. This is like, let's get some feedback. Like, let's pretend we're like a black Southern church and just like, let's talk to each other. All right. Actually, it's a black church anywhere, not necessarily in the South. All right. No, like for real though. Like, what makes you, if you're gonna describe yourself as unshakable, like, what does that mean? Why would you be called unshakable? We need more black people here. What? No, I'm just, it shouldn't hurt your feelings. Sorry. I feel shakable right now. Yeah, over here. You put yourself in a position to be shaken. Okay. Yeah, you have to be attempted, right, to be shaken in order for you to not be shaken. Yeah, I just, all I can think about right now is a chocolate shake. I'm so hungry, I should have eaten dinner. This is quickly going to go non-spiritual. Anyone else? Who else? Unshakable. Were you going to say something? Oh, I'm sorry. Chocolate shakes. Sorry. All right, unshakable. Let's just move on. Unshakable. Here's the thing. I would like to think of myself as an unshakable person. Like, in other words, if something comes along that might shake me, right, some difficult situation or some bad news, right, something like that, like, it's not going to rock you, right? It's not going to rock your world. Like, maybe your world, but not you, right? And so I like to think of myself as that person, but the reality is I'm not. I'm emotional. I'm like bipolar emotional sometimes, and I just lose it, and I cry, and it's ridiculous. My wife, she's like the stern, strong one. And I'm not that one. You know, like, she can handle things, and I can't. Sorry. Don't look at your phone while I'm talking, guys. Come on, pay attention. Right? But I'm not. I'm not always unshakable. I mean, I haven't been that way my whole life. My sister, when she was born, when I was 7, as soon as she could pick stuff up, like baseball bats, I would get hit with them. That shook me. Maybe getting hit with a baseball bat won't shake you, but that shook me. My second day of school at this new school I'd never been to before in second grade, I was hanging on, it was like these trapeze rings, right? The ones that like crazy Olympians like get up there and like, you know, hold on to, right? And do crazy stuff like that. Like, we had those, we'd swing around. Well, we'd move all the ones on the outside and we kind of hold on to the middle one and spin it around. And this really giant kid jumped on me and shook me and brought me down, and he broke my foot. I was not unshakable in that moment. Probably, like, when I think about, like, circumstantial, though, like, needing to handle a moment and not be shaken, my junior year when I was getting ready to, when I met who's now my wife, and I would, like, wanted to, you know, date her and, like, hold hands with her and stuff, you know, like go see movies and that. I got her number. Okay, I met her at a football game that I obviously wasn't playing in because she went to a different school and she was cheering, and I was supposed to meet this other cheerleader, but she was more attractive, so that's kind of how that went. And the other girl didn't like me anyway, so it kind of worked out. And her and I, Jill and I, hit it off, and she was talking to me, and I thought the socks she was wearing were awesome, and they looked like these, like her dad's socks. And she was, like, super hot, and just everything, you know, you look for in a girl 2 seconds into the relationship. And yeah, I was a real deep guy. And or shallow. And so I get her number, and I say I'll call her 5 days later. I had not called her because I was scared to. She was a senior. She was the cheer captain at, like, the rival school. And, like, I'm just a lowly little junior, you know, kid and trying to be cool. And she was out of my league, is out of my league. And I was intimidated. And it was, like, I wanted to live with that hope of, like, if I don't call her, she can't turn me down. Now, she can't also, like, say, yeah, let's go out. And so 5 days goes by, and my buddy, who was dating her twin, said, hey, you know, she told me they're not identical. They look nothing alike. She's like, hey, she told me just so you know, if you don't call her tonight, like, lose her number. Like, she's got another guy she's interested in, and you know, just forget about it. So I'm like, all right. I get home, and I got MTV on, and I pick up the house phone that I have in my room because we weren't rich enough to have my own line, and I didn't have a cell phone yet because I just started working. And, yeah, I know, junior year, no cell phone. Some of you are like, I had a cell phone when I came out of the womb. They're like, you know, birth certificate was like the 10th thing, cell phone first, right? No, this is like way back in the day. So 12 years ago back in the day. And, 13 years ago. Wow. Okay, so I pick up the phone, and I call her, and she had her own line in her room because she was rich. And I'm so nervous. She's like, hello. And it's just kind of like you have that moment of like, oh, she's talking. Hi. How's it going? Who's this? I'm sorry. Mom, you speak Spanish? Someone come in here. I can't understand this guy. No, it's Jared. You remember, I got your number, you're supposed to call you. I was told if I didn't that you wouldn't ever talk to me again. So I'm calling, hey, how's it going? I really, like, honestly, I just want to say, like, awful. I'm sweating. I think I've wet myself right now. Like, this is not good. You know, I've got cribs on in the background, TV cribs, trying to, like, you know, have cool vibes going. It just wasn't working. And I was so nervous and so shaken. I'm an easily and often have been shaken person, and I don't handle things well. Tonight, this section we're looking at, Jesus is kind of talk about what does someone who's unshakable look like, and what does someone who is easily shaken look like. And so I'm just going to read this quick parable. It's short. It's only a few sentences. It's Luke 6, 46 through 49. And Jesus is saying this, and this is in this whole list of, like, he's given out all kinds of, like, sweet knowledge and just words. And this is kind of the tail end of what he's saying. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'm going to show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. I don't know if you've ever built a house before. Legos and Lincoln Logs don't count, okay? All right, but some of you, maybe you have, I don't know. But the first thing you have to do is you pour the foundation, right? Like, back then, they weren't really mixing cement and stuff like that. So they would dig down to the bedrock, solid rock, and that's what everything would kind of sit on. Because if you put stuff on just loose gravel and all that, I mean, your house is bye-bye. As soon as that storm comes, it's gone. It's toast. It's not going to last. It's going to get swept away because it's essentially attached to nothing. It's basically a really just crappy houseboat at that point that's just going to sink. I mean, it might float for a little bit and you'll have a little bit of fun, but then you'll be drowning and wet and just, it won't be that exciting, except that you'd be able to pee yourself and no one would know. That's the only benefit of building your house on loose gravel. Stay focused. So here's the thing. Hearing, like, what is unshakable specifically, all right? So unshakable, the unshakable person is the person that builds their house deep on that foundation, that gives their house a foundation. The person who is shakable is a person who has no foundation at all. All right, that's still not very, like, super helpful, like, because I'm not building a house. Like, this is my life we're talking about. But this is your life he's talking about as well. So unshakable, he says, someone who hears and puts into practice what I say is unshakable. Whereas the person who hears and does not put into practice, does not live out the things I'm talking about, they're shakable. They're easily shook. The second, the storm comes, you're done. You're going to fall apart. You're going to be swept away. You're going to be destroyed. And the storm is this. It's anything that you're not expecting. It's anything that you wouldn't want to happen. It's anything that would make you sad. It's anything that would make you depressed. It's anything that would make you upset or feel hurt or judged or hated or disenfranchised, not love, right? All these things that we don't expect, that we don't want, these are the storms in our life. And so when this stuff happens, right, Jesus doesn't say, one, it's not if it happens, it's when, right? He says when the storm comes. So what's interesting is no matter what, in this life, every single person is going to deal with stuff that sucks, be it caused by you, caused by someone else, or just the result of this world kind of just sucks, right? Disease, things like that, earthquakes, that's not like someone's like out there jackhammering like, ha, 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 you know? Like, it's just, you know, tectonic plates and shifting and, you know, it's more like that. It's science. Right? And so when this stuff happens, this unexpected stuff, bad stuff, what is your house built on? Where are you at? Are you someone that your life is going to stand strong? That it will not be shaken? That it will not be swept away when that torrent, that flood comes flying through at you, at your body, at your mind, at your soul, at your heart? What's going to happen? Where are you at? What are you building your house on? In other words, how are you living? Is ultimately what Jesus is saying. He's saying, are you putting into practice what I'm talking about? Are you doing the things that I'm talking about? What he's talked about literally just before this, he's talking about loving your enemies. He's talking about, listen, anybody can love someone that's easy to love, right? Anybody can love someone that's going to take them out and buy them food all the time. Anybody's going to love someone that gives good back rubs. Anybody's going to love someone that's going to love them back. But you got to do more than that. You got to love the person who punches you when you offer them love and a handshake or a hug. You got to love the person who talks crap behind your back when you compliment them. You need to love every single person out there. There's no excuses. There's no exceptions, none. Like, that's the great thing about being a Christian, and I think that where we kind of mess up as believers a little bit is sometimes we get so caught up in we gotta be like Jesus, and you suck at that, man. You need to figure that out, right? You suck. Or that whole group of people over there, nothing like Jesus. And we get so caught up in where we fall short and how everybody sucks at living these things out, as opposed to, are they trying? Are they hearing his word? Are they putting them into practice? Are they trying? But we just get so caught up in they're not walking on water, man. They got issues. They must not be Christian. Or they can never be a believer. Or God would never love them, right? Which is the next section he gets into, which right before this story, he talks about not judging people. Don't judge. You have a plank in your eye. You have a beam, a giant pole in your eye. If you died, you'd fall over, lay down. Electrical wires would go across. We wouldn't miss you. You would help us out. You know? Take that thing out. And then after you deal with your own ish, then you go help your buddy that has that little speck in his eye. Then you can go help them out. Love everyone and don't judge. And he says, if you do this, man, you are someone that will not be shaken. If you live this life judgment-free, loving every single person out there, when the storm comes, you will not be shaken. Marcus Wheeler. I'm not here to talk about him or his life because I didn't know him. I know his last week. If any of you do know him, I'm sorry. He committed suicide, shot himself. Some of you are wearing orange. I put up Corona color lights back there. I got orange shoes on. Just trying to show support. But I don't want to support what he did. Yeah, we need to remember him and in a healthy way say goodbye. And you can apply this to any time anybody dies in any way. But specifically with suicide, let me just step to the side a little bit. This is separate from my talk right here, okay? Suicide is a sin, all right? It counts as murder, all right? Murder's a forgivable sin. Killing yourself does not mean you don't go to heaven, all right? The only thing that gets you to heaven is putting your faith in Christ and believing that he died for you, all right? He came that so we might have life and have it to the full. If life gets hard and we choose to end it, it is a sin, but it's forgivable. The only thing that's unforgivable is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. In other words, denying Christ, denying God, denying the Holy Spirit, and saying he's not who he is, or that he's something other than what he claims and says he is. Okay, back on track. Are we good right here? All right, suicide's not a sin. If someone kills himself, that doesn't mean automatic hell, okay? That's not biblical. That's really crappy hermeneutics, which is just a fancy way of Bible studying, okay? Back to this. So Marcus, what I kind of want to talk about is just, and this does all tie in to this parable of being shaken. The guy was clearly shooken. And I went, I mean, minutes after it happened, I started going through his Twitter, which is an amazing thing, Twitter, holy cow, and just started looking at a lot of his tweets from the past week, just a week ago. I mean, he posted a photo of a guy staring at a noose, you know, obviously contemplating suicide. Everybody saw the tweet where he just tweeted out help. He's tweeting about things that seem as though he's struggled with stuff in relationships in his life. The guy was hurt. A place where a lot of us, if not most or all of us, have been or maybe even currently are. And why people choose to end their own lives and kill themselves, there's a lot of reasons why. Ultimately, you feel like you're the pain you're in and what you're going through, it feels as though it will never end. It feels as though nothing will ever get better, that you will never have joy, that you're just stuck, and that if this solution of whatever can't happen that I think I need to fix this pain, this depression, then I need a way out. And most of us choose substance, right? And most of us choose an action of doing something that might distract us or give us an escape, right? Drugs, drinking, sex, all that stuff that just sort of like causes your, you know, those certain synapses to fire in your brain that says, this is fun, right? But sometimes it feels like nothing is going to help. And so the only escape is to end your life. Because if you're not living, well, then the pain is gone. And it's an escape. It's a way to escape. It's a way to eliminate that pain. And I think sometimes, too, there's a lot of pressure. And I think there's more pressure in your stage of life than any other stage of life out there. Those teenage years, maybe even as early as 12, up till, you know, 19, 20 in there. It's difficult. There's so much pressure on you guys to have a certain lifestyle that if you don't, if you lack any of it, then there's something wrong with you. And you can't live with something wrong with you. Or you just become depressed and upset and you begin to feel all these difficult things. I'm not here trying to say what Marcus specifically went through or was feeling or whatever. This is just suicide in general. And I feel like for whatever reason, probably because he just tweeted right before he did it, his suicide went viral in the East Valley. And it's a significant thing. It's something that I don't think I've ever done a talk on. It's stuff I've talked with students with. You know, it's something that it's extremely normal to think about, to process killing yourself. Most people in this room have thought about killing themselves, hands down. There's probably, I would even bet there's people in this room right now that are thinking through it, especially since this guy just did it. Sometimes when people commit suicide and they get sort of glorified a little bit, right? It's almost an extra reason, like, man, maybe I should do it. I can escape from the pain. I can get out of this difficult circumstance. And in that, everybody's going to come to my funeral, talk about loving me, talk about missing me, do stuff in my name. It's enticing. And in a sense, because we're trying to remember him, and if we just gloss over the fact of he killed himself, it can sort of glorify suicide. It can make it seem like this is an amazing solution to a difficult problem. The reality is it's not. God wants you to live. So much so that he came and died so that you might live forever. And that while you're alive now, we're all going to die, right? That's the ultimate thing. We will all die here. But he wants us to have life even now and have it to the fullest. So God doesn't want anybody to die. He doesn't want that. And so death is not good. I mean, it's ugly. It's an ugly, ugly thing. It is the one thing that should have never existed. But it is a result of sin. And so God himself took on that sin and died and then conquered death so that we could have eternal life. He doesn't want us to die. Death is not the answer. Death is not what is meant for us. Now, that doesn't mean that he was selfish. That doesn't mean that he's arrogant. I think it's real easy to come out and say, and I've seen people saying it, man, this guy's selfish. How could he do that? And it's a normal thing to process and think through, especially if you're a family member or a close friend. Like, why would that person kill themselves like that? Why are they just thinking about themselves? And the reality is it's not about him. He's not necessarily thinking, or the person who kills himself isn't necessarily just thinking like, I'm going to show them, or it's going to be so much better. They're finally going to love me after that. That might be one little thing, but ultimately it's in whatever issue they're going through. This temporary issue in where you guys are at in life, your stage, like you just haven't had a lot of practice yet of dealing with crap, you know, of dealing with storms. You might be like, are you kidding me? My life's like one freaking giant storm. Like, send me a freaking life vest right now. That might be true, but ultimately, like, life, when you hit your mid-20s and 30s and 40s, like, it's nonstop. And the storms only get bigger, you know, but it's these storms you deal with right now that do rock you and are difficult, that when you persevere in them and you work through them, give you the ability to start building that solid foundation to where you don't have to come to that conclusion to kill yourself. So death's ugly. It's not supposed to happen. I think another cliche thing to say is, well, just lean on God and trust him because he won't give you more than you can handle. That's nowhere in the Bible. Lean on God and trust him is in the Bible, but he won't give you more than you can handle is not in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I would go out on a limb and say more often than not you see in the Bible, hey, I'm going to give you more than you can handle. Sincerely, God. Why? Because we're not meant to do this life without him. And so he allows these storms to come into our life to make sure that we are embedding our house and our home and our life on the foundation of his rock, on him. See, storms come through our life because we can't do it without him. We shouldn't do it without him. Doesn't mean the storm won't come. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be less than you can handle that. I promise you'll be able to handle it. No. It's going to be more than you can handle. It's going to destroy you. It's going to be difficult. Some of you might lose a family member this year. Maybe you have. A close friend. You could get married and your spouse would die on your wedding day before you say your vows. You might have to deal with never being able to have kids as a couple for whatever reason. Maybe one day you have a kid and that kid dies. All this stuff you're dealing with now, they're small storms in the scheme of things in life. But that doesn't mean they're not rocking you, right? Storms are going to come. It doesn't matter. It's not a competition of how big is it or how little is it. Storms are going to come. Oftentimes, it's going to be more than you can handle. But that's why we don't have to handle it. That's why we're supposed to build our foundation, this rock, this house on him. A relationship with Christ is our rock. He is our foundation. I mean, he is solid. One thing that I tell as a former drug addict, one thing that I tell when I sit down with students or anybody who is trying to stop using substance or who's addicted to really anything, so often it's kind of cliche to just tell them, like, hey, do this for yourself. Like, you need to just do this for yourself. Like, you know, and it's not about your family and friends and all that. Do this for yourself. You need to better your life. That's a lie. It's not about you. All right? I tried to quit for myself. It doesn't work. When I cemented my life into Christ, which really not fully understanding what that meant, other than, okay, I just kind of want to make my life about loving God, loving everyone, including the people I don't want to love, and trying not to judge people along the way. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to change, not for my family, not for my friends, not for me, but for him. Because if he's willing to die so I don't have to, so that I could live, then maybe I should make this life that he's given me something that he's proud of, something that is worth offering to him. If someone gives you $100 and says, hey, I know you don't have any money. Like, say your dad gives you money, $100, to buy him a gift, right? You're not going to go out and get him a freaking dollar cheeseburger from McDonald's and say, here you go, and keep the $99. Like, that's not going to fly, right? You're going to go out and hopefully maybe you could even turn that $100 into some more money and get him something even better. It's the same thing with our lives. God says, here's a full life. I died. You don't have to. Live this life to the full. Do it. Trust me. Ground yourself in this, and you will not be rocked when the storms come. This life that you have now, you'll be able to live to the fullest, and you're going to rock it. I think too often, though, we don't live this way. We don't love our enemies. We constantly judge each other, and we make this life about ourselves. And so how do we make sure that we're grounded on this rock? I think the most important thing, I know the most important thing, is to just simply try to have the best relationship possible with Christ. That's it. Love Christ. I mean, pursue him. He gave so much for you. He gave his own life for you. At the very least, show some effort. Right? And respond to his love with love. And like the best thing about it is he just wants you to love everybody, you know? Don't worry, he says, like, don't worry about it making everybody like me. That's my job. You just love them. That's all you got to do. And if I'm able to love you, you sure as heck better be able to love them. Because you're just as bad, if not worse, than everyone else around you. So don't judge. Just love. And hear what I have to say and trust in me and build your life on me. And some of you seniors, as you're getting ready to graduate, you're gonna find out what your life is built on. High school, yeah, it's pressure. Trying to graduate high school, that's pressure for sure. Going through college, good luck. And all the stuff that comes with it, this world gets a whole lot bigger, and so do the issues and the storms. set yourself up, pursue him, build that foundation, stay grounded in him. And anything that comes your way, it'll hurt. It'll be difficult. It's going to be unfair, frustrating, but it won't rock you. It won't shake you. Live the unshakable life. Live a life that is grounded in him. And you won't hopefully find yourself like I was in eighth grade with a knife in your hand. Or like some of you in your room, however you thought about it. Or anyone else. Or like Marcus, who just needed a way out of the pain he was in. I want to pray tonight. I've decided that we need to make sure that we're aware of what's going on in each other's lives. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to really divulge that and be vulnerable with everyone. But prayer is the best thing you can do. It's not, you can pray, I guess. It is the best thing you can do is to ask God to come into the situation in your life that you need him. And to ask him daily for your daily bread to show up and grow you spiritually. And help dig that foundation deeper for you. To help us dig deep. And so tonight I'm gonna pass out some papers and pens, and I want to write, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I want to write prayers. And so I would just take time. I'm going to have the worship team come up for this. Here, will you just pass that out? You're in charge. Yeah. Here, you can help. You can be the pen guy. Good job. All right, so just pass those out and get them around. So I want you to think about, what do you need prayer for? What are the storms in your life right now? All right? What storms are in your life? Or maybe you're in a time it's peaceful right now. Maybe you're in a time where things are pretty good. Things feel good. Great, awesome. Who do you know that needs prayer? And so we're going to have this prayer board permanently. I don't know if it'll always be in this spot. But there's a passage on here. It's Philippians 4:6. It says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And it has a word up here. It's the Greek word for prayer. And it's something that I think we need to do. And I hope that this is something that, I don't care if it's not Wednesday or Sunday and you just want prayer for something, come in, fill out one of these papers, and then roll it up and shove it in between one of the cords, all right? And it's stuff that I'm going to be praying for this whole week. Or maybe you just feel like, man, I just want to pray for people. You can come in, pull those things out, and you can pray for people. Come early on Wednesday, Sunday, stay late, whatever. Come any other time during the week. And we need to, I just think we need to be praying for each other. I don't want to see what happened with Marcus ever happen again. And I think that it's possible. I know it's possible. If we ground ourselves in Christ and we're aware and we're there for each other, it is possible, I believe, that he could be the last person to ever kill himself in a high school in this area. And I think that praying for each other is a great way to do that. So do you have an extra paper here? If you need more, I'll just put them up here in my Bible. But just take it, write your prayer on it, and you can just sing with worship or just kind of listen to the words or whatever. And then you're just going to take it and roll it up. And you can shove it anywhere in between one of these wires where it might stay. And we'll just pray for each other. All right? Let me pray right now. Be praying, obviously, for Marcus's family, for that school, and for the people in your lives, the people you know who might be struggling. And if it's you that's struggling, ask for prayer. God, just thank you for this night. I thank you that you're a solid rock, God. I thank you that we can depend on you, that we can do this life for you. God, help us not to do this life for friends, for family, or even for ourselves, because we're all imperfect. God, and I know at some point we're going to disappoint ourselves. or those people we might be doing life for will disappoint us. And then there's nothing that we're firmly built on. God, just help us just to lean on you every single day. God, for anybody that has a storm in their life right now, I pray that you would just give them peace that just surpasses understanding, God. That you would give them comfort in the storm. Shelter them with your presence. God, give them friends and family to surround them. And help all of us, God, to have open eyes, eyes like you have, and be aware of every life around us. Not just our friends, but even the lives of the people that we can't stand and make our life miserable. God, help us to see what they might need and how we can love them. God, we just thank you so much for loving us no matter what. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.